Yeah. Right on. Hi, everybody. Ron Alcoholic. Thanks for sharing, Genevieve. That was great. So, yes, I came to AA 23 years ago. My sobriety date is November the 3rd, 1988. And I came in here no different than anybody in this room. I came in here scared. I came in here frightened. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I needed help and I wanted help. And I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. And just to qualify that I am an alcoholic, I drank and I couldn't stop. I couldn't control it. Every day was just like a living hell. I'm a Vancouver longshoreman and I would drink at work. I would drink after work. I would drink before work. I would drink during work. And things started happening in my life and I didn't really know what was going on. You know, things weren't normal. And I knew they weren't normal when you're dying. I was about 110 pounds when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I wish I would have known the information that I have today, but I didn't, you know. So I came to Alcoholics Anonymous November the 3rd, 1988. And, you know, and I got help from this guy who ended up being my sponsor. And, you know, this guy, his name was Damon, and this guy just loved me. You know, he just loved me. He just showed me, like, the true meaning of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's, like, walk with another alcoholic. Like, we won't tell you what to do, but walking with an alcoholic was, you know, he, like, gave me the world just because he walked with me, and he cared about me, and that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. You know, I came to AA, and I just... You know, I couldn't do it any longer. I was fighting everything and everyone, and here's somebody who took his time out and had coffee with me and took me out for dinners and spent time with me doing step work. And, you know, and this is kind of why I do what I do today. And it's like a full-time job of what I do today. And I got the perfect job today to be able to do that because I go to work and sometimes I get, like, some really free time at work, and the rest of the day I'm just helping others. You know, and, you know, so I came into AA, and I'm a lot like Severia. What happened with Severia? I got introduced to the 12x12, and I stayed sick for a long time, too, in AA, and I didn't know what was going on. You know, I remember going to see a psychiatrist in my first year, and I was just going crazy. You know, I was dating a few girls at once, I think three, and, you know, and I didn't know what was going on. I really didn't understand. I didn't understand anything about what was really going on. I had a sponsor. He just walked with me. You know, he really wasn't the big book kind of guy, you know. And he would say things like, you know, I can remember going to treatment. And he would say, if you leave treatment, you're going to get drunk. I'm like, I'm not going to get drunk if I leave treatment. But that's what he told me. And I left treatment right away. I hated it. And after just a couple of days, and I left, and I came back to the rooms of AA, and I dropped off everything at home. I came right to AA. You know, you guys gave me something that, you know, I wanted so much in my life. You guys gave me hope. You guys gave me that hope. You guys gave me that, you know, that yes, you can stay sober, and yes, you can have an amazing life, and but I didn't know how to get it. You know, and I wish I had somebody, you know, I'm glad I got shown how to love the alcoholic because I really know how to love the alcoholic. You know, I know how to walk with you. I know how to talk with you. I know how to care about you. And I'll go out of my way to help and love you. And I don't care who you are. I don't care who your family is. I'll help them too. Right? I don't care. And I've done it. So, what was a really turning point for me was when I got introduced to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's this guy that everybody knows, and I had my sponsor, but who really introduced me to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous was Lou Finnemore. And he's well-known in AA. And I can remember doing the steps with Lou, and I can remember doing my step five. And I did a step five just the other day, listening to a step five. I listened to maybe two or three a week. And I can remember sitting down at his apartment for 10 hours and telling just like all the things and, you know, trying to get some relief and some understanding of it. I really didn't do a thorough inventory. I really didn't understand the steps. So, you know, and that's kind of why I'm here tonight. You know, because I'm just going to really try to simplify it as much as I can, because, you know, 95% of people in A, the truth, the big book tells me this, 95% of the people are going to go back out drinking. That's the truth. This is life and death stuff here. So I don't know if you're the 95% or if you're the 5%, but I could probably tell you in a quick way if you are or not, and I'll just let you know. If you really don't like me, you're probably one of the 95%. I'm serious. If you don't like what I'm saying, and if you don't accept me, you might be one of those 95%, because I'm going to get to the work. I'm really going to get to the work, okay? And that's just a fact. And even, let's talk about even the 5%. Let's say you are the 5%, okay? I'm going to go with the facts. I'm going to go with the stats in AA, and the stats tell me by the time you get to 4 or 5 years, it even drops off lower than that. So go figure that, you know, Genevieve's up here almost in tears because, you know, she's having such a hard time at work, or anyone else in this room. You're having a hard time. I didn't know what the problem was. So let's just get right to the information. I didn't know what was wrong with me. Nobody said that my thinking was the problem. I didn't know that, right? And what really jump-started me, you know, years ago and over the years was I listened to Joe and Charlie, and I loved Joe and Charlie, but it came to a step four when I listened to Joe and Charlie, and I really didn't agree with what they were saying, and I didn't, and I still don't today. So what I did was I'm like, I need to make this simple for me, and I'm going to explain how simple it really is, and I'm going to go through it if you like it or not, you know, and it's about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I didn't know what the problem was, and the problem was my thinking. I didn't know that. So, and with every problem in the big book, there's always a solution. So there's the good news for you. So the problem is my thinking, And it says it centers in our mind. The main problem is my thinking. So I found that out, and I have the disease of alcoholism, and every disease needs a couple symptoms. And the symptoms are the obsession of the mind that happens before I have a drink, obsession of the mind. And then if I actually take a drink, I have this abnormal reaction to alcohol. And I didn't realize that. And how it works, how it really works is the more you drink, the more you have to drink. And the more you want to drink. And the big book tells me is if you're drinking right now, it makes it virtually impossible for you to stop. So for me to actually try to help an alcoholic who's actually drinking right now, can't do it. Sorry about your luck. What I do is I tell them, like, look, don't die. You can maybe throw it away. Don't die. But I know when I can help you. And the big book tells me exactly when I can help you. And that's the next day, or as soon as the hungover's over, the next morning. It talks about the alcoholic brain needs to be cleared. So that has a lot to do with step one. You know, knowing what the problem is my thinking. So with that, you know, it brought me to the second step. And, you know, first of all, even in step one, it tells you, even from step one to step two, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells us where God is. And Genevieve spoke a lot about the heart tonight, but I'm going to explain what the big book says about God and where God is, not who God is. I'm not here to tell anybody, like, who God is, I can't. But I could tell you where God is through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And on page 25, it says, our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous. That just changed my whole life. I went to Hawaii looking for God. I went to Mexico. I searched it in great-looking girls. I searched it in my job. Like, I searched everywhere for God, and I didn't realize that the big book told me where God was. So I know I have the problem, the mind, the thinking. Okay, so now I know where the solution is. By the time you get to step two, it says came to believe. Sure, you're going to come to believe because it tells you exactly where it is. And on page 55, it says, deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. That's great news. And on the spiritual experience at the back of the big book, I know you guys read it because you want to know what a spiritual experience is. And it can happen right away, and it's a profound change of attitude and thinking, and that's where you're going to read a spiritual experience. But I like what it says at the very bottom of the page. It says, our members have tapped into an inner resource, which they presently use as a power greater than themselves. Oh my God. Oh my God, I didn't know that. Like, God's within me. God's all around me, but how can my heart reach your heart if your mind's in the way? Ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. So that's why we really need to have this open-mindedness. So, like Jason, the guy's the size of King Kong. There's no way I'm going to get into Jason's life. There's no way I'm going to actually approach Jason and go like, hi, or whatever. If he says no, it's no. Or a beautiful girl, or anyone. Right? How? No, I'm serious. Like, with this mind of ours, ready to kill us and close us off from that sunlight of the Spirit, will completely hurt us. And thank God that I can keep an open mind today. And you know, it actually even proves to me, even when we get to step three. So the problem is my thinking. Solution's in my heart. It's in God. Always has told me the truth. But my mind gets in the way of the truth all the time. But today it doesn't. You know, and I'm going to explain that. So, you know, so step three. Oh, I forget where I was going. But anyways, with step three is just a daily reminder is that I'm not running the show any longer. And it says, you know, even at the beginning of step three, it says any life run in self-will can hardly be a success. And on that basis, you're always in collision with something or somebody. So I really need to be reminded all through the day, like this life I live is really not about me, but it's about you. And I'm not talking about not being responsible for me, because I am responsible for my own happiness, for trying to do the right things and stuff like this. But how do I know where and what to, the right thing is when I'm thinking about it. I can't. I have to go with God. I have to go with the truth. I have to go with where the heart is. Have to. So with that being said, so that gives me a little bit of foundation, and it usually takes me an hour to take people through the steps, through the first three steps. And it's actually 20 hours. I've gotten this down to 20 hours. I take you through the steps in 20 hours. And I can even just look at around the room. There's maybe 10 I've taken through the steps here just tonight. And that's only because I have, you know, the gift of, you know, studying the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, loving the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and willing to listen to. I just learned three new things even last night. I told Genevieve to learn three new things in the sex inventory, which I'll tell you because we're coming up to step four. So with all this really good information, you got the mind. That's the problem. You got the solution. It's in my heart. I have this daily solution. Are you going to drink? I know what the solution is. Am I going to drink? Yes or no? Wrong. I am going to drink because that's not enough. What happens is there's things that are blocking me from God and from my heart. And these things are my defects of character. And these are the things the big book tells me is that's going to separate me from God. And it's me judging you. It's me being inconsiderate. It's me being jealous. It's me having ego like, I got 23. No, I don't do that. But if I wanted to, I'd be reacting out of self and all of this other stuff. So, you know, so knowing where this problem is and knowing where the solution is, you're still going to drink. The big book tells me that. Because the big book tells me is when I start a step four, and I'm going to use me as an example. So I'm pissed off at this loud guy who's up at the podium. He's a loud mouth. He's sober. I hate him. Right? Because I hear it all the time. Either you really love me or you hate me. There's no middle of the kind of road, you know. There isn't. You either love me or you hate me. So what happens is he's loudmouth. I hate him. And then how does that affect me? And in the big book it says, you know how it affects me? Well, it affects my personal relationship with him because he's loudmouth. I can't even talk to him. And he's a know-it-all. That's how I judge somebody like me. And how I used to. So, and how it affects me, it affects my pride, it affects my personal relationship. We all know that part. That's the first three columns. We all know that part. Big book tells me is that that's where most people get drunk. Because all I'm doing every single day is I'm judging you. My girlfriend didn't do this. Jason didn't call me. I hate him. You know, whatever the case might be, I'm always judging and inconsideration and selfish and So that's as far as most people ever get. And they go back out drinking. Well, there's a couple of more lists that we need to do to analyze these resentments. So I really hate this guy, Ron, because he's loud. And I know, it affects my personal relationship with him. Now the big book. I don't know if you guys know this, but we got 4 mistakes. I don't know if you know this. My sponsor told me when I first came in today, the only mistake you can make is to drink. I'm like, okay, so I always remembered that. But that's actually not the truth. There are 4 mistakes that we actually can make. And it tells us right after the resentments. It says, where are we at fault? You guys know that part. Where are we at fault? But what it says is, we look for our own mistakes. Where have we been? Selfish, self-seeking, frightened, and dishonest. Oh my God. So now, I actually make, it's a mistake. It's actually a mistake for me to be frightened today. It's a mistake for me to be selfish and self-seeking. It's a mistake. It's clear as daylight there. And then we go a little further. And when we go a little further in step 4 is, I want to know why. I want to know why, and the big book actually tells you. It doesn't really get to the defects of character, but I want to know, why are you so dishonest? Why don't you like right on, Ron? Or why don't you like somebody, what they say, or somebody who cuts you? Why? I want to know, why are you so frightened? Or why are you so self-seeking or selfish or dishonest? I want to know why, and that's where we get our defects of character from. So say I'm stealing from the Summit tradition. I don't, but let's say I am. Let's say I am. I'm just giving you an example. Okay, so we go down the line. Okay, I'm stealing. Yeah. And then I get to, what's my mistake? I'm dishonest. I want to know, why are you so dishonest? Maybe it's because I'm lazy. Maybe it's because I'm inconsiderate. These are the things that block me from God. These are the things that just drive me crazy. These are the things that I go to a coffee shop and I see my friend working and things are just going crazy, or the girls, some of my friends with boyfriends, and things are going crazy. And it's because I'm living in a huge mistake. And what the mistake is self-will and ego. Like, why is this happening to me again and again and again? It's because I keep living in the problem. And I think I can fix this, but it never fixes itself until I clear out the, sort of like the wreckage of the past. I'm inconsiderate, right? It's not about what you think. When I tell people, when we start these the steps and stuff, I tell them it's not what you think. It's about doing the work. It's about doing the work and getting the results from doing the work. That's all it is. So when you're doing step 4, I don't want you to think. I tell them right away, don't think. Don't think. You pissed off at somebody? Yeah, maybe. Good. Write it down. Can you think of anybody else? No. Good. Go on. Right? No thinking involved. So there, that's how we deal with our resentments. But there's a couple more lists here. There's fears, and everybody, I haven't met anybody other than the people I've taught about the fears from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if I ask any one of you in this room, how do you deal with fear? I know what you're going to say to me, because I hear from everyone. I have faith, right? I have faith. You're right. That's not enough. And what the big book tells me about fear is, it says self-reliance was as far as it got, but it didn't go far enough. So what that really means to me is I have fear just running through my life. And I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay, but it's not. And it just continues and it continues. And I continue in this fear and I continue in this fear and I continue in it. Because I'm self-reliant and I'm going to fix this. But you can't fix it until you get to the solution. And what is the solution for fear? I'll get to the solution to our fear. And it tells me on the page of page 86. It's right at the bottom of the page, right near the bottom of the page. It says, we asked ourselves why we had the fear. And then it says, here's the solution to fear. It says, we direct our attention to what God would have us be. Okay, so I need to direct my attention to what God would have me be with that fear. So what would God have me be if I'm in a relationship with somebody who's hurting me so bad? What would the solution be? What would my heart be saying on that? Like, really, what would my solution be? If I'm at a job that you know, I'm in tears every single day, you know, if I see somebody and I'm in fear, I'm in that stricken fear and I don't know what to do, I need to get to the solution. And what's the solution is we direct our attention to what God would have us be with that fear. And do you know what it says right after that? It says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. It's like, oh my God, I never knew that. It's like, oh my God, oh, you know, and it actually works. It really does work. So then we get to the sex relationships, and the sex relationships, I've heard so many. I heard one just the other day, and I don't know why a lot of women lately have been asking me to do the steps, but a lot of them have. Maybe they find that they can trust their own heart or something like this, and I'm just really privileged because I have a lot of guys in my life, and I have a lot of wonderful women in my life who I just love to help through the steps. And I get people calling me all the time. So I actually even made a website so I can help people all over the world. And it seems to really help, you know. And, you know, and that's kind of my service work even today. So the sex relationship, I think we can all know where that's going. And, you know, I think the bottom line for that is how can I mold my ideas to be as spiritual as I can. What is it? A sound and sane ideal of a sex life to get me? And that's going to come from your heart. That's going to come from the wreckage of your past. And you're going to go like, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to hurt me anymore. And this is what I should be doing instead. And this is good for me. This is what I deserve. And this is what I'm going to do. And that is exactly what I'm going to do. And I've even seen some really good examples of it lately. You know, people just completely walking away. And even if that means phoning the police. So then with that, there's one list left, is the people we have harmed. And that list there is our step 8. But what happens is I got 6 minutes left. Okay, so this harm list is, what happens is we have all the resentments of people and we kind of bring them over to the harms list. But what happens is I need to know more than the people you're resentful at. I want to know, like, if you stole my cell phone, you wouldn't have a resentment towards me. You wouldn't. But that's something you would probably need to fix. So that's why you would be on my harms list. So I would have the resentment. These are the things that I need to fix. So I just did it the other day. I was with this girl and she had all the resentments and stuff, but she had a whole bunch of other people added to that list because there's things that I just need to fix. That I don't resent you, but I need to fix this. So there's our step 4. So step 5 is coming to see the loud guy or the Genevieve or any one of us to help you see the big box of truth about ourselves. And that has a lot to do with our defects of character. And, you know, that brings us to step 6 and 7. And step 6, from what I've done over all these years, is step 6 is thinking or knowing what a defect of character is. By the time I get home, I know what these defects of character are. And you know what? And the ones they're really talking about is the ones that are in your face. They're the ones that are in your face. The ones that are just blocking you and you can't go any further. And I think why they're right in our face and they're defects of character is because God wants you closer to God. God wants you closer. If you're fighting, if relationship, job, inconsideration of others, self-pity, God actually wants you to do the opposite. God wants you to do the opposite. And then we get to, you know, God, take away all these defects of character that stand in my way of my usefulness to you, God, another, something like this. But it's about getting closer to God. And not only that is, with step seven, that I just kind of, which is, oh, can I go right into the last minute?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, good. So four more minutes, is that okay? Okay. So what happens is how do you stay in God's will? How do you stay in God's will? Step seven helps me stay in God's will. Help me, God. Like, help me. Help me listen to my heart. Help me. Like, help me. And then it comes to step eight. Step eight is I have this list. And by the time you get to step eight, you might want to just add a few more people. Step nine is making direct amends. And, you know, it's making direct amends, but it's how do I feel about it also? How do I feel about what happened with that situation? And you know, what actions am I going to take? So when I do the steps with people, I go like, what exactly are you going to say to her? What exactly are you going to say to him? Do you get me? Like, it can really be a real nightmare if you kind of run on self-will and you're thinking and, you know, and it just becomes a more of a mess. This is about spiritually trying to fix everything. It really is. It's about how can I clean my side of the street, not his, not hers, not that place, but I want to clean my side of the street. And I want to be able to walk anywhere, anytime, and be okay with me. Brings me to step 10. And it says, continue to take personal inventory when we're wrong, promptly admit it. A lot of people get this mixed up for some reason. They say, well, I do step 10 at night. And I'm like, no, you don't. You do step 10 all through the day. It says we do it all through the day. And there's five things that we need to watch out for, right? One is the four defects. And then once they come up, I need to pray. I need to tell somebody immediately. I need to make amends quickly, and I need to resolutely turn my thoughts on how I can help others. The army has a saying, be all you can be. We got our own code in AA, and our code in AA is love and tolerance of others is our code. And they tell me that in step 10. And then it goes a little further, and it says, what we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And that's a daily reprieve. So, you know, it's kind of like you got a stay of execution in a way. Yeah, you've been given a day of sobriety. Don't screw it up. You got a day of sobriety. That's it. Contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Then it brings us to step 11. Step 11, I'm nearly done. I got one more minute. So step 11 is when we retire at night and on the awakening. And we all know that, right? Page 84 to 88. No, yeah, that's, no, page 86 to 88 is step 11. This is really, really important. Like, on the awakening is wonderful. It's really wonderful. But I guarantee you, that's not going to save the day. What is going to save your life is when we retire at night. And you're wondering why I'm saying that. It's because on the awakening, we look for the 24 hours ahead. I can get close to God, and I can by listening to the awakening. But what happens is when we retire at night, there's nine questions that we have to ask ourselves. And they kind of take us right through all the steps. So if you ever really want to pick up your socks, it's 8 o'clock, just one more second. If you ever really want to pick up your socks, if you ever really want to get back on track, with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, do when you retire at night. And then it brings us to step 12. And step 12 I can put in like to two words. And the two words is helping others. Give them the gift that was given to you. What are you thinking, people? Like, you know, like really, you know, what have you been given a gift of sobriety? And maybe not everybody has to do it my way, but you know what? We've been given a gift. Help others, love others. And I forgot the true amends part is how I can really, truly live okay with me. And the true forgiveness for me is to always, always react with love. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what happens in my life. I need to react with love. Thanks for my sobriety.